of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, and I make a motion to approve the agenda. So moved.
Second.
Marlene, so moved.
Second, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes from February 10th.
And I will ask that the two gentlemen who were not with us last month, that they abstain, please.
I'll motion, Jeff. I'll second, Jolene. Alright, approval of last meeting minutes. Now, moving on to...
Actually, I do need a roll call on that one, Lauren, so if we can go through, and again, the two gentlemen can abstain, but everybody else, if you'll let me know that you approve the minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Can we do a roll call?
Yes, please.
Hi, Charlie.
I abstain.
Thank you.
Dawn.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi,
Lauren.
Hi, Mike.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Don't crack your jokes over here.
We want to hear, Don.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. I'll move to the third step. Second, Charlene.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Jolene. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Mike.
Okay. The warrant and personnel is approved. Now, moving on to community public comment.
None here.
They thought that she was supposed to go to Riverside. Thought she had a mom. She said they didn't know she resides. She's in Citrus. She resides at Orange County. So she had a whole whopping 4 days. Orange County is different. They have two. They have an oral, and they have a written and an oral. So out of over 120, she has you a written and 38 so on in advance. 4 days studying, she advanced. Wow. So 4 days later, Of the region of New Greater. Wow. You know, the SAT So, and you still have a cancer family that are happened at home. So Maggie is her sister coming up, and so she's an OB for you. Just wanted to introduce you to a sister family that's doing so well.
Thank you.
Because it's hard for the two kids, the teacher just doesn't
I just heard a story the other day about a kid who, the kid said to his mother, the teacher said, when the mother went and talked to him, this was not my school. This is a regular public school. And they're a mastery-based public school, allegedly. But then she said, yes, he already knows all that, but that's the rule. Everybody has to do that seat work. So your child should do the seat work. But he could get done real quick because he's so smart. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it because he thinks that that was a trend, which by the way it is for him.
Yeah.
It's not for the other kids, but it is for him. So it's just, when it's already, it begins, and that's just worse later. So it's just going to get worse. How are you, Megan? I hope we never have any of you feel that you had to get a ball.
So we cannot hear it. I just want you all to know we cannot hear any conversation that's happening there, so it's not hitting our recording at all when the student is speaking or anything like that.
Very awesome, and so is Citrus Springs, and did you hear what I said?
Yes.
There was just a little side conversation. There was no,
okay.
Nothing of consequence. And they're very happy with the charter school choice. That's basically the upshot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is there somebody on the
Mike Sherman is here as a board member, then the rest of us are staff.
Keep it on.
Yeah.
You
have
staff shall we move on to the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know it's a sacrifice to drive in Orange County. I could tell of that. So,
I want to see. I want to do that.
Yeah. You know,
I
want to
show them, but I want to.
GetRealCon is our annual event set for 11th and 12th graders. We are having it at the Grove in Riverside. We are busing kids in from a variety of locations. Open to all 11th and 12th graders in Keys, Venture, and Homeschool. So it's going to be fantastic. One of our foundation members is going to be keynote speaker. He's a professional baseball player, pitcher, and very short career. That's what happens. They get their shoulder, they blow out their shoulder. It's like he's an inspirational guy, and we're only going to get 20 minutes, you know, because it's high school. So we have to, like, adults can't pay attention for an hour either, but we force them to, right? But anyway, we just found out that the California Charter Schools Conference was canceled on account of the coronavirus. That's too bad because we have several people in our team that we're going to be presenting and have already spent hours working on their presentations. So these are the things that happen. I'm looking forward to having a couple of days back. So I wouldn't have had if I was there. So we're going to also save $20,000 for based on people that all of the food and accommodations. I don't think we're going to get our fees back, though. I don't know what they're going to do about that, because this is like considered a massive problem. So, talking about coronavirus, I can't tell you. I sent a letter out, I don't know, 2 days ago, and just talking about the fact that, you know, we wash our hands, don't think your kids should feel sick, and we're going to wash everything out with soap and water, and we are making sure that we do our cleaning during. So, that said, I think it's important to note that all of our programs, except Quest, are programs that can be done at home. Even Quest could be done at home on an independent study agreement. So, we have the ability, more than traditional district schools where everything's really hard for them and they may or may not understand how to do, you know, independent study. We do. That's our business. And Monica knows how to do independent study. We did it for years and years before this school program turned into a 5-day week day. So we are definitely wanting to have a plan B, A, B, C, according to, you know, we want people to stay home if their children are sick. And so we want the children to keep making progress if they are not well enough to do that work. So they may be too sick to come to school. We don't want them to come to school, but they also are not so sick that they can't do work at home. So then we want to be able to make sure that they have something to do at home. But these are things that the schools are all taking into consideration and have that plan for in case. I guess from my understanding, you know, they're just trying to keep a lid on it to the point where they can wait it out without taxing our hospital resources and things like that before it starts to go the other direction. So the problem is if it spreads too fast, then we don't have the ability to see to all the people that need seeing to in the hospitals and I don't want to overreact.
Yeah.
But if I was CCSA, I probably wouldn't have closed it. But on the other hand, like if you have something like that, you'd be getting into the, you know, a little humble.
Sure.
So you know, yeah. And my staff would want me to send a letter. That was pretty much every staff would want.
I mean, I think I'm going to
send a letter. Fine. I'll send a letter.
If they would also phone call. Well, it's yeah, meeting is
awesome.
Yeah. Right. There was a medical clinic in Boston.
Yeah.
And 3 people who left the clinic
are now getting positive.
2 of them are overseas and 1 of them in Tennessee. So that happened last week. And I think what happened was they had a convention, 3 people left.
Of course, it was a medical convention,
yeah.
So that's right.
People have been
exposed.
People
have
been exposed.
Yes. I think now we get convention. I got a really great deal to go to England, going to London on for spring break. Got it, yeah. I'll be summit. This is sharing best practices and all this stuff that March 20th. I think it's the event center in Temecula. So we listed the marketing events that we've done since the last meeting. I do apologize for being out ill last month. I was so sick that I could not get out of bed for Saturday and Sunday. I started it sick at the, and I was teaching through the in-service for the Luau Day for the orientation and for the K through second grade staff development, professional development. And
that the next day I scream. And I've asked my happy to me years, literally years. So, and I have some shots. So, what did you say about that? Alright, one other thing I wanted to mention is I'm meeting next week now, but I have time. Thanks, I get to be in the beach. But I'm meeting next week with our Learning Center group for this site so that we can talk about what we are going to get up. We're going to improve the offerings of our Learning Center at all age groups, but also particularly secondary level. So Biolastar has closed other areas of their closing, they're not opening next year. And so we feel that we have the ability to kind of create a program that will be more appealing to the families who were going to Biolastar. And one thing that I've just not mentioned in this report is that I spent some time in Oregon at the beginning of, well, the middle of the month, March 17th, Oregon, 2 days. We looked around a variety of things. I have a leader in our school who is moving to Oregon and would love to start a charter up there, so we're talking about that idea. It's not very great. There's some problems with that in that the overhead that you pay the district is 20%.
Mm-hmm.
20%.
Wow.
Okay. So we pay 1%.
Wow.
Whoa. So that's a big discouragement. There's no anti-charter sentiment because we get actually more money from a charter.
Yeah.
The district gets more money having a charter than it was a local
rule.
So anyway, so that's one benefit, and there's not a lot of negativity. But you also don't hardly have enough money to run right. So there's that. So anyway, but we went and visited a private school in Bedford, which is one of the oldest schools in the West Coast. It's like the third oldest school in the West Coast. No longer affiliated with the Catholic Church officially, but they still are a Catholic private school. But it's just like, you know, they got a picture of the Pope on the wall, but there's no money coming from the diocese or anything. So, but what they have that's interesting is they have done a lot of research and development, and Vivian Price and Debbie Gerson and I went on this trip together, and they have done a lot of research and development into alternative methods of secondary school in order to stay relevant and get their enrollment. And what they have discovered, they have modeled their program after the Cambridge School. I don't know if you're aware of the Cambridge School, one of the biggest feeder schools to Harvard. And it has a modular program which offers seven modules a year. They are 27-day modules, and each module begins and ends as a complete class. And so what this allows you to do is an English, so for example, in a year's worth of credit in English, you need three modules of English. Mm-hmm. But there's 15 different choices. You could pick Beowulf, you could pick Shakespeare and Newton. You could pick the science fiction short stories. You could pick any three of those. It takes a year, it gives you a year of credit. So it provides a lot more choice and a lot more interest-driven learning, which is really up our alley. So we are really considering how we can revamp our course content to be more choice-based like this. Now, we have done this previously with the integrated curriculum, the integrated course curriculum. How can the integrated course curriculum, it's not quite flexible enough for some of our students coming in, probably for 9th graders, but not great for kids coming in 10th or 11th grade after they've already had certain classes, they have other classes. So this allows where you could have different modules that are complete, and you could integrate those modules, or you could not integrate them. So you could have an American Dream one that gave you one third of a course of U.S. history and one third of a course of English, like, you know, where you do, you combine. So this has kind of opened our eyes up to a simpler way to do the integrated curriculum that we've been trying to do for 5 years, and it's still been an uphill push to get that going. But I'm very committed to have students have a choice, because I really think, you know, that's very important for high school students. They do not get anything out of it. If they hate a book, or they're very young, they can get much out of it.
We have some philosophical conversations with the English staff, and they're like, well, I'd rather just push them through the book myself, because then I make sure that they get everything out of that book that they should get out of it. But if they don't want to read that book, they're not reading it. They're just letting you tell them what the, you know, let's face it, we got,
what we do is we think they're never going to read again, so we have to give them every best classic that we think of an educated person should ever read, and we have to force them to read it in those 4 years of high school because they're never going to read again. And that should, it's so high interest material is often put on the back burner for Susie is an English teacher, so she and I don't always have the same opinion about what high interest high school. Moby Dick is her thing. She loves Moby Dick.
One of the flies,
excuse me.
Lord of the flies.
Yeah. My daughter almost quit her English class over that. But, so. What? No, it's not. Oh, no.
Well, if you read
your hand up,
she's a prodigy.
And it is a considerably
a
Now, it's funny because sometimes, like Kill a Mockingbird book that we often have kids read in the eighth grade, but we also, it's perfectly acceptable to read in high school, too. It's like, these are all adult books, so they, doesn't really, it's an arbitrary how we decide. Some books are just harder to read than others because of the vocabulary.
All right. I also put that book on dimension one.
Series, then they have to read the rest of them, and then they get hooked.
Yeah.
And I know my brother got hooked on books by reading the Tom Swift novels, you know, the ones where he's like a sailor, ship captain, or whatever. And so, I mean, this is what we might call pulp fiction. It's not really high level literature, but it gets them reading, and volume reading is really, really, really important. So anyway, so that's why I'm just letting you know that's on the horizon. There's going to be no wild changes for fall, but we are shifting our focus from our curriculum writing to be shifting it to maybe more modularly, and choice based. So we are working on that.
Do we have a real solid plan for spring and the summer for this upcoming fall?
For fall, yes. So I know that Tammy had a meeting scheduled with the one of the Viola stars there. So that'll be good. And then in addition, like I said, I'm meeting with them next week to sort of flesh out the curriculum offerings for the fall. So,
clarification?
Yes.
All the Viola stars, or just all?
That's what I heard. So they're just closing the whole high school thing.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping in mind that with the, one of the things that we have been really exploring, because we're in this transitional time for the new laws of 1505, 1507, and the big one, AB5. AB5 is the one that impacts Uber drivers, okay? But it also impacts us, because it has to do with contractors and what makes a person a contractor. And it has a line that says in it that if this is your regular business, you can't pay somebody as a contractor to do something that would be considered your regular business. So we have contractors who are speech therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, what do they call, RSPs, special ed, academic support for special ed. So we have contractors in all those areas. That's our largest contractor amount. But we also have contractors that provide tutoring for math, tutoring for writing, and obviously all the electives, like, you know, all the electives that our homeschoolers are doing, jujitsu, and who knows what else. Okay. So this has become a very big conversation about how are we going to handle this AB5. They designed it for the Uber drivers, but it has unintended wide-ranging consequences, not just for schools, but for a lot of other businesses.
That's
a lot
of
work
intended, doesn't it? No,
but the districts are just attorneys for that.
We are.
Yeah, I know, but for us, it's because our QTs, right? They're not QTing for us. They're QTing for, like, the office down the street. Yeah. So they don't have to come under that, right? And that's the question. But like, it is maybe the TT who owns that for us. If that TT only contracts with us,
they should be employees.
Right. Yes. However, that's my understanding.
I will just say that. If it says you cannot contract with something that you do as a normal course of business,
but we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we are an educational institution.
We don't hire PTs.
We do.
We could.
We have.
We actually, we do.
As
we
know
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that we wouldn't, well, the reason that we like contractors from time, well, first of all, in some cases, we can't find enough employees that will come work for us. They want to work as a contractor. So we have 11 FTE of speech therapists over the whole network. And of that, 9 of them are contractors and 2 of them are full-time employees with us. That's all we got is 2. It's not because we don't keep an adjoint posting at all times for a speech therapist. We do. They don't want to come work for us full time. They like the freedom and the benefits of working as a contractor. So, we're not the only ones in this boat. Every district is in the same boat. So this is a painful, we're trying to figure out how to make it work. But what this means is we're going to be more limited for vendors and contractors than we have in the past been limited. So we're going to have to really make the best use of this facility. But we also can hire employees to do certain jobs that vendors have been doing for us. If there's enough of a call for that, we can start to look at. The problem is when you have one homeschool family that is doing something a little unusual for their TE, like Irish dance, for example. To use a personal example, not that my kid ever says usual here, but you know. So, but I mean, that would be, we wouldn't be hiring that because there's not enough call for that. But we might be able to hire somebody that teaches judo that's got also a credential. See, that's the other thing. Because that's part of 1505, the credentialing. Yeah, so this has been fun. There's a lot of reading of regulations and reading of statutes and trying to figure out how we have, but we're not the only ones. We're getting a lot of help with our A+ network.
And we were going to have a tailgated meeting before the CPSA meeting for the whole day on Sunday. And now that meeting is canceled, so. What we're going to be doing, but it's just an ongoing balance, because we want to stay in front of the legal definition so that we aren't like blindsided by something. Then when it becomes clear, we have to change some way of doing things.
You expect immediate?
No immediate changes. No, we have already, one thing we have done though immediately is we have reduced our vendor list. So we've just, any vendor that we haven't used over the past year has been kicked off of our vendor list. So we, that's just step one, because the problem is we have such an expansive vendor list, which is a good thing for business, but it's also a bad thing for us to be able, if we have to have higher accountability standards of vetting and ensuring the quality of all of these vendors, which we do some basic things, but we don't go that next level. We have to have more lists in order to really, so. That's what we're up to. I'm just letting you know the grass is growing on grass, and we're worried about that. At 85, well, they think that they think it's going to be overturned. There's a lot of talk of that. One of the things also, we're going to be talking about the town upcoming event because of other stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you.
Alright, so yes, now we're moving on to the information items, and first we have the health services report led by Kelly.
Well, hello everybody. This is my first board meeting. I'm excited to be here, and I'm very excited about our health service program. We have done one heck of a lot. In 4 years we've been in existence, setting up the vision and hearing screening, comprehensive, so we go out school to school, as state mandated, every 3 to 4 years, screen those levels. But we also go out extra. We go out in the spring as well and get the kids absent and in between. We screen the special education students and have an option to come here to the plaza. We have a clinic every week. It's very important the kids can see in order to learn to read and hear to make sure they're getting what's stated in the classroom. So we do support education in the classroom by the screening, making the referrals, and doing something unique. We follow up with referrals in a documented way so that these parents are contacted not just by mail but by phone call to make sure they got the referral and have a provider to get the exam they need and the glasses. So it's going well. And these are the statistics on the top of just the breakdown of who we screened this last year. I don't know if all of you are aware that we do have health contacts at all of the school sites. And this is really a great thing right now. We're in close contact with these health contacts regarding the sick kids that come in. And that's something that happens on a daily basis. So we're monitoring that very closely. And as you can see here, there's a lot of training going on during the year on this right-hand column. We train them all for the major medical conditions that they encounter and that we make health plans for, the diabetic health plans, so that we make sure that they understand it, that they know how to use the equipment, follow-up training to make sure the kids are safe. And the same when we encounter kids who have seizures, we make sure there's follow-up with parents to get a plan from the doctor so we know exactly how we're to respond in the school. Because it's very important that all the staff in that school know what to do. Because when there's a medical problem, we want to make sure that everyone can respond. So we're very big on going into the schools and training, and also having trainings done here as well, annual trainings. So. The kind of things we encounter are in the middle pie here. We make sure those major problems are all addressed and all have plans, and that those plans are distributed to who needs to know. And the follow-up with the health offices are that these medical documents are all kept private. We now have medical locked hospital carts at all the schools, so that the plans, the medications, everything is controlled in that cart, locked, you know, every night, and only certain people have access to the key. So it's all private, confidential, and everything we have is that one mobile cart that can be taken out in the event of an emergency. In the bottom, we have evidence of our EpiPen program. It's fairly new because the state did mandate that several years back that all the schools carry them. So we have a great program, and that we get them for free, for number one. That's really great.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what? And they give them so we can supply them to everyone who needs them. And you know, sometimes even learning centers, whoever has the children there, we make sure they have EpiPens available, big and small. And of course, training happens, and then there's follow-up training as well, to make sure everyone knows how to use them. So that's what we have. I'd like to know if there's any questions right now about what you see here.
Kelly?
Yes.
Have we used any of the EpiPens?
Actually, we have. We did use one last year. One child, an active student, epileptic, had her own EpiPen, but her own EpiPen didn't work. It was either old, it wasn't, you know, and so she still had symptoms. So the health tech just pulls out our EpiPen, gives her the injection. Of course, the paramedics were called, and she was fine. She was able to breathe. So thank goodness we had our backup. Yeah.
That's worth all the money right there. $0.00.
How did you
get it for free?
Well, it was quite a process because this medical program is through drug companies. Only supposed to get two per RN, just two per nurse. And when I contacted her, I said, this is not going to work, two, because the schools. So after several months of talking with a variety of administrators, they finally believed that we really did have all these schools. They were all legitimate. And so they recorded every single one of them, out of the five schools and then the sub-schools. And I found a doctor who would write a prescription for all of those EpiPens. He's an emergency room doctor in Vista. And so we got our big box, actually several boxes of EpiPens that first year, and they've been with us ever since, both the doctor and the drug company, to continue to supply us with the EpiPens. And how long did it last?
Big job.
Kelly, thank you. My question is, how long do they last?
Yes. There we go. Yes. Yes. They last actually more than the year. They're about 18 months now, okay? But what we found is that the efficacy even goes beyond that. Okay, so if a parent has one, sometimes they can use it for a couple years old. It's just not as potent as, you know, the one that's within the 18-month period. But
we don't have any expired EpiPens. We don't use anything expired.
We could get new ones because we're in the program. So yeah, like you say, that if someone had one and it was expired, you know, it's still good.
Expired, they all the time, you know. It's
just like there's a lot of stuff that we do proactively that we don't use, and then it's sort of bad to pay all that money for something, but we don't want.
We can afford this.
Thanks for all your work on that, Kelly.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so now we can move forward to the completion of Statement of Economic Interest Form 700.
So I think you all have them there, right? Kathleen, could you bring those home?
Well, I did take them home. Well, yes, I did sell them all out.
All right. So do you all have the copy of your Form 700 there? Okay. Kathleen, can you bring those with you?
Yes. Kathleen will bring them with her.
I am all part of the current now. Be behind me. I have them.
I will do that. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about if most of you, to my memory, you check the box that says none, but if there are people that need to fill out the schedules, Monica should have copies of those available for you as well. The main thing is that we go ahead and get these filed. So, are there any questions?
No.
The same thing as every year, so I think you guys are pros at it by now. That's all for me.
Yeah, that's all for
you're so welcome.
We're waiting for your first
time. I would if I could, let me tell you. I would. But I don't think that'd work too well. All right, that's it for me on that.
Great. Now we're moving towards the action items. So the first one, we have approval of the 2020-2021 attendance and
185 staff on the
We created a calendar for a variety of reasons. It's better for us as an organization to have our school year begin and end within 10 months. And so instead of having some starting in the middle of August and lingering to the middle of June, it was better for us to give our credential teaching staff and ACEs and all those people the entire 2 months off so that they get June and July completely off. This helps to reduce our number. So what this means is our teachers will no longer get paid on 11 months. They'll get paid on 10 months. We'll get paid the same amount just over the year. And we're going to be, don't worry, we're going to be warning you about this, assuming this gets passed by the board today. Because people are going to have to prepare for next year. So this year they'll get paid over, they'll get paid over 11 months, they'll get a June paycheck, but next year they will get a paycheck from August, the last paycheck will be May, and they'll have June and July off. And so, what this means is, in order to get this to happen so that we are done with school by the end of May, that we are not having as many staff development days during the school year. But in fairness to that, we really prefer to have staff development days before school starts anyway, and we have often paid for extra staff development days for different academy locations in the month of August. Now they're just there. So, and we can always give people a home study day during the year as well if we really needed to, but at the moment I don't know what our plans are for that. We do have one day during the school year, which is February 6th. But what the negative about this calendar is that the negative about this is that the semester ends after Christmas break, which is 2 weeks instead of 2 weeks. However, the mastery-based grading, we have decided that the best thing, one of the problems we had with our final schedule this year and last year, year before was the first year of master's, is that the children had no chance to redo or retake or revise their end of the final exam grade because they would take the final, the semester was over, and they moved on to the next class. So what we decided to do with this in both first and second semester is we're going to do the final exam right before Christmas. then they have 2 weeks after they come back to work, revise, retake, redo, whatever they need to do to improve their grades and their mastery. So they get full 5 credits for each of those courses, and then they will get their semester will officially finish on 15. So I think it's a good solution, especially now that we're mastery. That means they have not just slightly accelerated, but they also have that time to redo, retake if they need it. If they don't, they can start on the next semester's course of study a little earlier. So, yeah, and actually the window, I think the kids are going to want to get to it. And so this does start, this schedule does start us a few days earlier. We start this year, which I think on the 25th of August. So this gives us 3 extra days in August of school, which doesn't, it still is not close to what the tradition, what the districts around are. A lot of them are starting around the 10th, 11th, or 12th of August. And the reason that they do that is, a lot of the reason that they do that is because of a P-test that happens in the middle of the day. They happen the same day, no matter when they start the school year. They get a little more content taught during that time. So we don't do AP classes. So for us, it really doesn't matter. However, we like to start a little later than the regular district, so that if kids start at a regular school and they don't, it doesn't work out, then they feel they still have time to come and start that. So this, we felt this was sort of splitting the difference well enough that it was good for us. I can have
I would have had a very difficult time motivating my kids to do anything. And I think it's everybody having their first school on the 14th of May and then blowing off the next week and a half. So I'm just saying, from a parent's point of view and knowing kids who are smart and who can look at the calendar, I'm not saying I wouldn't approve it. I'm just saying I would have my heads up on you that there is going to be parents who are struggling.
Well, I will tell you what our experience has been that the kids have not been mastering all their credits. So because we're requiring children to master, so they have to earn all 5 of those credits for the 5-credit class, and they have to prove mastery at least a C level. And so they can't take a test now that involves all 5 ideas, all 5 concepts, master 3 of them, and just bomb on the other 2 and still pass. That's not acceptable. So it is, we need more time to give kids more chances to work their way through that. So you are right, you're going to have a little trouble with the starting camp who master it like that.
There were They don't get to cheat though because our high school
students have to have their work rated by a specialist.
So they're in the third line?
They're not, no, proctors.
Okay, so that's a big difference. So it is all online.
It is, like, well. Right, it is. Their accountability is higher now.
Yeah, okay.
And so I do think that in by and large, like, there's a small percentage of our kids who are going to be in the boat you're talking about, Jolene.
Yeah, I'm just thinking ahead of stuff.
I hear you. I totally hear you. So we're going to try to, we'll try to capture that ADA the best we can. But even if they're just reading a free reading book, we can count ADA for that, even if it's not, like, you know. But what we really want is all the kids to earn all their credits in every semester that they're in, and not let that languish for the next semester, because that's what's currently happening. So, the summer kids, which is a great deal of students. Anyway, yeah.
I'm going
to say 18. No, same number of days, same number of everything, right? And it slightly changes our testing window for CAP. It definitely changes our P1 and P2 dates, but that every year we change based on the start date. We thought a week at Thanksgiving, 2 weeks at Christmas, and 1 week at Easter, so it's right, ready for questions? All in favor, roll call?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Jolene.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Mike.
Questions approved? Moving on to the next one, approval of second interim budget.
Can I get a motion?
Second,
Jolene. All right, good afternoon. Before you is your second interim financial report card. This will be the last budget snapshot you receive until the end of the year, and this is also the budget that we use to formulate and build our next year's preliminary budget on. So on the second page, you'll see the spreadsheet of what you're used to seeing. I am pleased to report we're forecasting 88.8 higher than we did in December. That is always very good. And you can see on the first line of LCFF, which is Local Control Funding Formula, that 888 increased the revenue by $67,000. So every student counts, not only for our ability to educate them, but our ability to fund the school. Overall, state revenues increased significantly, and that's because we were able to secure the facility reimbursement grant from the state of California. So not only do we receive reimbursement of $90,000 of rent value that we pay, but we also have the opportunity to recover utility costs, repair costs, and things like that. So we really are out there seeking every single dollar of revenue that we can find. Overall, Citrus has done an amazing job at adjusting their costs to correspond with the students that they've had, and you can see that flow through. Service and operations is higher, but that's due to our prior board activity related to the special education costs and whatnot that go into that area. So I am pleased to report that that's bringing down your net revenue to $133,000, which is $62,000 higher than before. We're always happy to have that, but it gives us a little bit of cushion if something should happen that we are not anticipating at this point. So again, we talked about the revenues overall, and just it's great. Mike was wonderful and signed a letter at the last minute so we can get the approval from the state, and we were able to do that because if you look at those numbers, you can see missing out on a $100,000 grant hurts the school. So we really do pay attention to those things. I just want to reassure the board. So overall, great participation in the National School Lunch Program. That's bringing in federal revenue, state revenue, offset by the cost of the program. And the reserves are still in a very fine position of 26.25%, which is significantly higher than the 5% recommended by the Government Finance Officers Association. So your next report for your finances will come forward at the May budget. I may or may not be here. I'm going to be on leave for a little while, medical leave, but I will do everything I can to be here to give you the breakdown of the assumptions that we're using for the preliminary budget. We'll bring forward the CONAP for your approval, let you know the revenues that we're going to seek from the state of California pass through, and give you a snapshot into 2020-2021. It doesn't roll off the tongue very easy. Are there any questions I can answer? This is a good report.
Can I ask a question? Aren't we at P2 pretty much now, close to it?
P2 actually is hitting in, I think it is the third week of March this year. But remember, these are numbers and figures that we take as of January 31st. So in order for us to formulate the forecast and the revenue and all the things that we need to do, we need to do a little crystal ball forecasting at the beginning of February. But again, we should pretty much know because we're not too far out from that. So,
Kathleen's report says our attendance is at 290 and this is projected at like 278.
Because remember,
so
average daily attendance is different than enrollment. Mm-hmm. Enrollment are the number of students. But that doesn't mean that every student has been there every single day for the course of the whole year. So we have
We should.
Give me another one.
Come on, Peter. Our teacher, Peter, where did you get credit?
Tanya, thank you. That was a really great report to look at when it came through from Natalie.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. It takes a great team to pull that together, and you're going to hear from one of them on the next item.
Great. Yeah, awesome job. Thank you. So, all in favor, please roll call.
I'm Mike.
I'm Charlene.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Jolene.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Mike.
All right, motion approved. Moving forward to the approval of auditor selection for the 2019-2020 school year. I just say
a motion, Sarah.
Second, Charlene.
Okay, every year we bring this forward to you. This year, your controller, Yvette, is going to present the item to you.
Hi. My name is Yvette Spender. I'm the controller for Citrus Springs Charter. I think I've met a couple of you. The names sound very familiar. I'm not always at the board meetings, but I'm going to try to be a little bit more present. We as staff recommend the approval of the selection of our independent auditors for the 1920 independent audit. The firm is, I don't even know how to pronounce this.
CWDL.
Yeah. Sorry. The charter engaged with them, with CWDL, for the 18-19 school year, and we were very pleased with the level of communication and the performance that the audit firm did. The audits of local education agencies, or LEAs, is a very niche market, and as a result, the performance of last year's and ongoing communication, we are recommending the selection or reselection of the same firm this year, or for 1920. They specialize in charter school audits, which we greatly appreciate, and they will perform the required independent audit as well as filing the required annual taxes. And the financial impact that this will have is the same as last year. They gave us, I believe it was a 3-year outlook, and it's at $7,090 for everything.
Which our prior auditor charged us about $12,000. So this is a good savings. It will take every penny where we can. And just as Yvette's explained to you, if we don't bring this forward and formally adopt it every single year and turn it into the county, then the county gets to choose our auditor, and we do not want that.
Right.
We want to have the ability to choose our auditor that works with us and understands us. So it's really important that this comes forward to you every March.
Well, great. All right. Any questions? All in favor, please roll call.
I'm Mike.
I'm Charlene.
I'm Dawn.
Hi, Jolene.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Mike.
All right. Moving on to the approval of superintendent's exception plan. Take a motion.
Okay.
We need a motion first. Okay, so what you have before you is what we're proposing for superintendent succession plan. As you know, we've talked about this off and on over the years, and this year we thought we would put it in writing and kind of give an overview of what we think it would look like. Basically, it outlines what would happen in the event that the superintendent would be gone temporarily, what that compensation might look like for the person who's filling in the position. So we wanted to maybe write out a little more detail about what it might look like should the superintendent unexpectedly or through her own plans and means leave the organization. So do you have any questions for me or for the team?
I have a question on page 3 from the River Springs Board of Directors. Are we going to change that to the city?
Should be changed. That should be changed.
I thought so.
I mean, ultimately, each board would, but then we'd have a combined one. for looking at the final.
You changed it to say grades.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, you want to change it?
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure it's
okay. Uh-huh. Sorry.
No, you guys are your
It's important you guys need to know always that you have the autonomy to do what you want. It is, we feel that we should always be able to prove our purpose to you. And so that, but you know, you have the ability to go that's what you want is when the situation arises.
I have a question just on this one sentence, or board representation will be determined based on student enrollment in each charter, calculated at one board number per less than or equal to each block 3,000 students. I'm just curious how where that number came from. 3,000 is obviously a lot more, and so just how we came up with that.
Well, I don't know. It came from a conversation we had at Cabinet that for most of our charter schools, we have less than 1,000 or less students, but we felt like for those charter schools that are large enough and exceed like 5,000 or so, that maybe representation might be based on some sort of a number. So we picked 3,000. It wasn't anything scientific. It was just the idea that...
necessarily control the whole vote, but we also didn't want to be, they're not going to go for just being one of four or six votes.
Yeah.
So, but they won't have the majority of the
votes.
Yeah.
We do
have a majority.
Yeah.
It would ensure
exactly.
It was.
Thank you for answering my question. Are there any other questions in regards to the superintendent's succession plan? All right.
Could you repeat that? We missed that comment. What?
Oh, I said it was very thorough.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All in favor, please
roll
call.
I'm Mike.
I'm
Charlene.
I'm
John.
I'm Julie.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Mike.
All right. Motion approved. Moving on to the last one is the approval of Board Policy 5004.1 Infectious Diseases.
So sorry, so moved.
Thank you. So I feel like I get all the fun topics, but in light of the recent coronavirus conversations, and we did a little internal audit and started looking at our previous board policy, which was very outdated, and we also looked at the things we're actually doing here at Springs to ensure the safety and well-being of our students. It was just by chance that Kelly was here today to do her health services report, but we do have a very comprehensive plan. We just felt like we needed to make sure everything was updated and current, and that our boards were really clear about what we were doing, because we are getting quite a few questions from the public, from our families, and from the community at large. So this is just to make sure we're current with all of our laws, and to make sure all of our boards know the extent to which we ensure the safety and well-being of our kids in the area of health services. Kathleen alluded earlier that We also wanted to clarify that in the event of a school closure is something determined by the Department of Health Services, but that we can also use our in most of our cases, we can use our independent study and non-classroom-based measures for families who want to self-select to study at home. And so we wanted to clarify that for our Springs community, that those options are always available, and we want people to do their own self-care as well, but they don't have to wait for the health department to make those decisions. I will tell you, I've worked with Kelly now for about 6 or 7 years. She's always in close contact with the health department, and her judgment is very sound, and so we feel like we have a really, really great team, along with our facilities team, who is very diligent in their contracts with our cleaning and our cleaning vendors to make sure that everything is soap and watered every night, all of the desks and the chairs, and that's just a standard practice for us. So I wanted to get that before you so you can answer questions to the community as well, and also to make sure everything's current. Any questions?
No questions, but I did like the fact that it was not just thorough, but it was very concise. You guys did not go overboard with being wordy or overdramatic. Yes. And try not to take a little bit of money.
I had a question. Under fiscal and under financial impact, it says unknown. Could you give us maybe a rough ballpark estimate, and perhaps the board might want to consider a not to exceed number for that?
I'm sorry.
The financial aspect, you put unknown, and she's asking, do you want to give a ballpark or allow them to do it?
Well, at this point, there is no financial impact because all of these services and things are currently part of your budget. But should things escalate or we have to take other measures, then yes, we've never had to do that, so I wouldn't be able to calculate the cost. But at this point, there is no financial impact. These are the things that we're currently doing through our budgetary processes now. So that was where the unknown. Should the school close, and should we have to do a deed scrub of every campus, that can be very costly. And I'm pretty sure the cleaning companies are going to be charging an arm and a leg should that happen. So those costs are really the costs that we don't really know should we have to close the school and come in with those deep cleaning services.
Hey, we have some board members volunteer over here.
You have a hazmat suit.
And so, you have independent contractors.
So I guess that was my consideration.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, so I guess that was my consideration. Perhaps we might add in a not to exceed or any extent over a certain amount would require more approval.
Well, actually, what's going to happen is if this should occur, I mean, we're obviously hoping it doesn't, then your normal contract policy would come into play with your normal approval rate. So we would go and follow your contract policy at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That sounds great.
Good question.
Okay, thank you.
Because she's right. There's a couple on there that I'm like, you know,
I'm on the board, I would have heard about that, so. Yeah, there's
one of the people who loves to write.
Yes, oh yeah, because mine's like just that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would say, yeah, for us, I at the time I was like, yes, there, yes, there, yeah. But having gone on there to lead one, it was interesting to the others, just to be aware, and it's, you know, just 10 minutes. Oh, it did show up. Okay.
There's only five of them. That's the only three of the life, but they're not going to come to the mall, so they're not going to come to the mall. I think it's two more than.
I'm just saying, it's good to know so that we can say, oh, you know, that's what it is. Like, you know, there's never an issue.
By the way, when there is a negative comment on there, want to know exactly who it is, and our old school director knows exactly who it is, because it's a person who is not happy with our judgment of a certain thing, what the way or something like that.
Well, you knew this one would be typically about him, you know,
I'll tell you the number one problem we have with parents when it comes to the number one problem is disciplinary at the academy. And it's because a lot of times it's because they're unhappy that they were not able to be part of the decision making to determine what punishment is given to the kid who was bad to their kid. That is the number one thing that they want to know, what happened to the kid. We cannot tell them what happened to the kid. We are not allowed. That's a violation of everything that we do. We can't let them know, and we can't. It's not it's very upsetting to them, and they feel that they, you know, they want to know what happened. And so, there's not much more we can say. After a certain point, there's like, other than, you know, do you trust, we hope that you trust us to do what's right and to make sure there are, you know, consequences for all the students based on our policies, procedures, and protocols. You know.
Well, there's only five or six, but now I think there's as many positive as
they are negative.
Yeah.
But if I read that one, yeah, that one specifically. Well, we definitely need,
and I don't know, you don't want to be like,
Yeah,
so why is this weird or bad? Is there a way to get on and say,
and then there are ways to come.
Just to be like, that didn't happen, and that's not.
So, Sarah, you're no longer the secretary. The reason you got a copy recently is because we did not receive one of them back from you, so we had to mail a copy from the June minutes to you. Charlene is our secretary now. Charlene Ponzio is our secretary now. Are you there?
Who's the secretary? I'm
Yeah,
they
were
fake. How do we handle it when a parent drops off an obviously sick child, and if the parent is going to go to work, what is the deal with that?
Hey,
we
actually sent out a letter to our parents letting them know what the protocol is, especially if it's like the police. I have to say the majority of our friends are really responsive to keeping them home. They have temperature over. If they do have a temperature over, they do bring them into the office. They actually take the temperature and take the temperature. Take them home. We haven't had any families that have been very resistant to that. I'm excited from the class. Yeah. So they2 weeks ago, Italy had fewer cases than the U.S. Today, Italy shut down the entire country. Well, how do you want to mention how many people? And, you know, it was a breeze on $20, right? And they basically shut down both of their economies. Yeah, they almost shut down their
economies. So it's an obvious and serious thing.
Thank you. We are adjourned at 4:26.
Thank you. Don't be well, family.